Boss Man Show here with Bucky McMillan, coach of the Sanford Bulldogs, the SoCon. Coach McMillan, how are things with you guys over in Birmingham, man?
Man, just like it is everywhere. We got a timeout going on. Everybody's just chilling, staying at home right now. But hopefully that's about to change sometime soon. And it's safe for everybody to get out and get back to normal life. And we'll be back to some basketball at some point here.
Now, how's it been for you trying to put together a staff, talk to your team via Zoom and FaceTime through this pandemic? Because I know you naturally, as a coach, you want to get there and get stuff going, get with your guys in person, and kind of build a relationship building from day one in face-to-face, but they ain't doing it via Zoom and FaceTime. So how has that been for you so far?
Well, it's not the way you envision it when you accept a job, obviously. But, you know, I think we've done a good job in the athletic department and Sanford's done a good job of organizing it so the turnover under these circumstances wouldn't be as difficult as you would think. But, you know, just not getting to see the players face-to-face is something that, you know, I wish we could do. But we've been good. We've been communicating with our players, current players, and obviously recruiting for new players coming in. So I think we made some progress. I don't, you know, one thing is, you can't get on campus to work the guys out and do the basketball part of it. So it's full-fledged recruiting right now. And our staff's done a good job, made some good headway there.
I've talked about this a little bit with some of my friends in the business, how this pandemic is kind of a blessing in disguise in the sense of, hey, you know which guys are players now, who are self-motivated to play ball and love the game on their own without getting pushed by, you know, the strength coach or a manager or assistant coach, get them out there on the court and play ball. They have to do it on their own now, which can kind of tell you who the guys you're going to really depend on, who really loves the game of basketball. They're not just here for a scholarship, just to be playing the game.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's like I told our guys, you can't even really give workouts for your guys right now. Like, hey, I want you to go do this. I want you to go do this because some guys can't get to a place as a goal. But, you know, the guys that really have the love for the game and, you know, are true competitors, they're going to do something to outwork their competition. And so whether that's get to a goal or that means, hey, I'm going to train my body through, you know, running and strength training or whatnot, you know, real competitors find a way because they have the fear when they're sitting at home by themselves that the guys are going to be competing with them against them or outworking them. So I'm with you, you know, 100% that, you know, guys that are real competitors in this time period will thrive because they'll find a way when others will be able to make, you know, excuses for reasons not to do things.
You got that right. You know, I believe in this, Bucky. No excuses for me. If you want an excuse, you'll find one. I mean, if you really dedicate to your craft, you'll find a way to get something done within the rules that you have to do right now, which is the stay-at-home orders or distancing, whatever you have in your state or wherever you're at right now. I mean, you can find a way. Where's the way? That's how my father always taught me.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, and we're not wanting anyone to jeopardize their safety, obviously. But I mean, you know, if you can't find a way to get to a goal, and then your body, try to get your body in the best cardiovascular shape you can possibly be in. Try to do 100 push-ups every hour. You know, there's things you can do while staying safe. So that's one thing with our program. We're not going to have, not pertaining to this, we're not going to have excuses in our program. You know, I mean, one of the things I told our guys when I talked to them is that respect is earned, it's not given. You know, it's just how it is. And great programs every year. You look at the great college basketball programs or college programs of any sport, you know, every year a team comes in there and they earn respect. And that's what it takes from these players during this time period to do things that are going to earn respect of the new coaching staff. And, you know, we're going to do things as well that we want to earn the respect of our players. So we're going to be working hard during this time frame and not making excuses ourselves so that our coach, our players respect us the way that we want them to.
I hear that. And you know what? I feel like this, too. You know, you got mad respect from your administration because you came from the high school ranks to actually come bring you up from there. They really had to believe in you. Of course, you've been in Birmingham your whole life there, playing ball there, Birmingham Southern. You know, then you coach high school ball in Birmingham. So, man, so having those administrations say, hey, we want to lead our program, how did that make you feel knowing what you've done in your career so far at the high school level and playing in college as well?
Well, obviously, I'm so grateful for the opportunity. You know, Sanford's a place I believe in. The administrators there, from the president to that, from the president to the athletic department, all of the faculty, not just to have the opportunity, but to have the opportunity there means a great deal to me. I think it's a great fit on both sides. I think that me being from here can help breathe new excitement from the city over to Samford in the basketball program. I obviously just am elated for the chance to get in there and meet everybody that's part of the campus and part of the athletic department when this virus calms down.
I hear that, Ashley, my ex lives in Birmingham and Bessemer area, outside Birmingham and Bessemer, so I kind of know the area pretty well, man, and they love basketball, and, one of my good friends was Joe Dean Jr. He always gave me some points of how Birmingham was, man, so just tell our listeners about Birmingham as a basketball city, what basketball means to the city of Birmingham, and what are you planning on doing for the city with Samford being a school that's right there in the heart of it to kind of be a community school as well?
Yeah, no doubt. Joe Dean Jr. is a great man. He was athletic director at Birmingham Southern when I played college basketball there. So I know him well. The city of Alabama in general, sports is everything. I'm telling you. There's no pro sports here. So it's kind of like the college sports are the pro teams and the high school sports are the college teams. And, let's be real. There's not a ton to do here. people are religious people here. So they go to their church or synagogue. Then you have sports, And if you don't do that, maybe you like to hunt or fish. But outside of that, it's not like we're sitting here on the beach necessarily right now. We're not, way up high as a vacation area in the mountains. It's a place that when people, men, women, girls, boys, they rally around sports. So sports are extremely popular. So here I've coached in high school basketball here, and we have our state championship games. We'll have 15,000 people at those games. So to build that excitement around Samford, I just think it's going to be allowing all the people in the city to take ownership in our program. Understanding that they're a value to our program, they're a part of our program, that we're going to need the support of the city behind us to fight with us, because we're in a great conference in the SoCon, and we got to look like we're the underdogs, and we need everybody to jump on board with us, come be a part of it, come check our practices out, get you over there to our games. I just want everyone to feel like Samford's their home, and that's what we're going to build, and won't happen overnight, but we're going to make it happen, and when we get it going, I think we'll get it going, and we'll never look back.
You got there, and the SoCon is improving so much because 7 out of 10 schools this past season were 500 or better. You got Chattanooga right off the road from here in Atlanta, Mercer down around the road. You guys 2 hours to the west of here. Even ETSU, which is kind of 4 hours up the road and tucked up in East Tennessee. So you got all these different schools within driving distance of Atlanta. So how do you feel like you're going to recruit Atlanta specifically, but also with Birmingham being in a great centrally located place to go to Nashville, Jackson, Mississippi, Memphis, of course, Atlanta, we just said, and go down to George Mobile, New Orleans. So you got a lot of ways to go to find talent that you can drive to, which was good saving the budget too as well. So 80s like that. So a little bit of location recruiting and how you guys can get branch out with the location of Birmingham High, since located in Alabama, and get to places very fast.
Yeah, no doubt. There's lots of great athletes in the South. We know that. I think that you got to find the right fit for your school. You got the right type of players. I like to have a mix between guys that are great athletes. Also, like to have that mix of not only the athletic, but hey, they're smart players. They think the game, and they're team players. And I think when you get that, when you get guys that are athletic, they can think the game, and they're going to play hard, and they're going to play unselfish, great things can happen. I think a lot of times college coaches just kind of, they'll just take a guy because, hey, man, he's here with his stats. He scored this many points or did this, but it's kind of like, is he a team player or not? And so we want to find guys that are going to all be all about Samford and all about our program and all about, hey, losing their individuality to a sense for the sake of the team. I've always kind of said the saying that, you don't have a true basketball team until everybody on the team gives up something they want to accomplish that season for the sake of the team. Or maybe somebody wants to score 17 points, but they got to score 10. Or maybe somebody, he wants to be the go-to guy, but really he's going to be the go-to defensive guy, not the go-to offensive guy. We want to have guys in our program that truly understand that, truly can buy into that. And when we do that, I think we'll have a lot of success.
And another thing you got to deal with now, of course, which I know it's the second part of your job is probably tough, is the scheduling games. Because I know at the level, the SoCon level, you kind of got to play those buy games. Because a lot of the athletes got to raise money for the university. A lot of listeners don't quite understand that concept a little, but you got to play those games kind of raise money for the athletic department and university. So outside of those games, which you know you have to play, how is your system going about scheduling games? Will it be more regional-based, trying to get guys back home, or playing a non-exempt tournament? So how do you think about you go about scheduling games going forward now since you're the man in charge of scheduling now here at Samford?
Yeah, you know, we obviously, I think we're playing three SEC schools next year, quote, by games. But, you know, I like playing guys locally if possible, you know, create excitement, you know. I mean, you know, when I mean locally, I mean, hey, we're here in Alabama. Let's play, you know, teams in Alabama, teams in Georgia, teams in Tennessee, teams right here in Mississippi and Florida. You know, I think that, you know, it allows more people to attend the game. You know, you want to create that atmosphere for the players. You know, the more people at the games, the more the higher attendance, the better for the players, the more exciting atmosphere it is. And you know, obviously, we know there's lots of great teams down here. You know, we'll get to see a lot of those in conference play. But other than that, I mean, even just in the state of Alabama, I mean, there's plenty of good teams over here that we could play and create rivalries. You know, I mean, good rivalries that are fun for the game. So that's what we're going to look to do. We're going to play something. I can't divulge the schedule yet until every contract's signed, but I'm looking at playing a lot of these teams that are locally that are known to be good basketball teams.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's a lot of great schools you can play D1 level here and all this, like you said, Mississippi. Pretty much on the I-20 corridor, you can pretty much find some good opponents that want to do it. You know, it's always about wanting to do it. That's what it always boils down to.
No doubt.
I always put out that big factor, want to do it, you know. And last one I got for you, Bucky, is this. Can you tell our listeners who's been some guys in your career, personal professionals, really helped mold you as a coach and make you the man you are today that you'll be leaning on as you take on this journey of leading the Samford Bulldogs here going forward the next years to come?
Well, first is my college coach, Dwayne Rivall, who's actually coming with me as an assistant coach. With me to Samford. So Dwayne Rivall is a legend in Alabama, and he's a Hall of Fame coach and won two NAIA national championships at Birmingham Southern. Then he took the program to Division I. When I was there, we played in the Big South Conference, and we won the conference before we were even eligible to play in the tournament because there was a waiting period when you went to Division I. Now the program has changed since then, but he had to get out of it. His wife had an illness and had to get out of it to take care of her for about a decade. Now he's getting back in with me. So we're just talking to Coach Rivall the other day. I said, man, it's funny that, hey, we're jumping right here, right across town. Here you go, about 14 years later, right here, going to Samford to lead the program that we saw and observed while we were playing at Birmingham. I was playing at Birmingham Southern. He was coaching there. But he's been a big impact on me. I just think he's a great person, but he's a phenomenal coach, brilliant basketball mind. He taught me a great deal about this, and I'm glad he's coming with me. My high school coach was great as well, Mark Cornelius, who gave me my first job as a Navy basketball coach when I was out of college, and believed in me as a player, believed in me as a coach, and I don't think without those guys I'd be where I am today.
I hear that. Well, Bucky, hope to see you, man, when you guys play Mercer for sure. Maybe Chattanooga, if you come over here and recruit. You have my phone number now, man. So, love to see you, man. I come to Birmingham every now and again still myself. So, I definitely hope to see you guys, man, doing well, man. I love the city of Birmingham. I always have fun at the Birmingham Bowl and Legion Field when I come cover that as well. So, I love the city of Birmingham. It's been good to me, man. I know it'd be good to you here going forward as you've been a hometown 205 Birmingham guy, man.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you having me. Let's stay in touch.
Will do, Bucky. Have a good day, buddy.
All right, later.
Grab a hold of Big Breakfast flavor at Hardee's. Try two breakfast sliders for just $2.99. Get Applewood smoked bacon or freshly grilled sausage with fluffy eggs and golden melty cheese all on a toasty little bun. Good morning, start at Hardee's. Available now for a limited time at participating restaurants. Tax not included.
All right, what's back here on the Gerald the Boss Man Show here with Coach Landon Bussey here of the Alcorn State Braves out of the SWAC Conference. Coach, man, what's up with you guys down there in Mississippi, man?
Everything is going well. Just still trying to make the transition to Alcorn. Right now I'm still in Texas. Planning on getting out on campus within the next few weeks.
I hear that the coach, what did it mean to you for the Alcorn to actually tab you as the new head coach there going forward? Coach Robinson been there for 5 years there. They saw some of you and what you did preview down there with Coach Smith there and wanted to bring you in. So how did it make you feel?
It's a pleasure, you know, to be, you know, first and foremost, to be a candidate, to be the next head coach. You know, it was an honor, you know, to be selected for that position. So it's an honor, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. And my plans is to go in there, put everything forward, and try to lead this program moving forward in the right direction.
And what was about Alcorn specifically that kind of caught your eye that you wanted to make sure to take over this program? Because it's a story program, a lot of history tradition there at Alcorn State there and with the Braves. So what about the administration, the community, the university that kind of struck you to say, hey, I want to take this opportunity here and lead this program here going forward?
Like you said, I think the most important thing was the winning tradition that they had in the past. When Coach Davey was there, they was able to win multiple SWAC championships. And then the administration, the support they have shown through the past year with athletics, meant that, you know, football made it to the SWAC championship within the last 7 years. So it shows you have the support of the that's really the place when I considered, you know, taking the job was, last year, you know, they finished fourth place. You know, it wasn't a rebuild year, so they're right there in the middle of the pack. So, you know, I think with a few additions, a few techniques of my coaching philosophy, I just believe that we'll be able to take this program to the next level.
I hear that now, Coach. What do you feel like would be the biggest adjustment for you, man? You've been assistant coach for a while. How did you prepare yourself mentally to become a head coach? I know when you're in that role as assistant coach, you try to think about you want to move on eventually to the next level here, being a head coach. So how did you prepare yourself as an assistant coach to be a head coach now going here as you get the job here at Alcorn State?
You know, and that's something, to be honest with you, during my time at Prairie View, I really didn't think about it much. My whole job was to, you know, work as hard as I can work and, you know, try to do what my head coach asked of me. And, you know, just try to put in the most effort I can to help the program move forward, being successful. And I think that, you know, Coach Smith gave me a lot of different leeway and a lot of different, you know, I was able to make a lot of different decisions on the fly and things like that, you know. And I think that prepared me for this opportunity, being that I was a top assistant at Prairie View. I recruited a significant amount of players. You know, I helped them with the bench decor, with, like, you know, strategies, in-game plans, and things like that. That was the most important thing that helped me to be prepared for this opportunity.
I hear that. And, you know, in the SWAC conference, can you talk about how is it to build a program in the SWAC? We got to be honest about it. Resources in the SWAC are not as much as they are in other mid-majors or even high-major schools. Resources not as much as most schools are in the SWAC conference. How do you go about building a program knowing you got limited resources to a degree, having to recruit guys, find the right fits for your program? So talk about the uniqueness of that in the SWAC conference, having to find the right fit based on the limitations that you have. That's not your fault. This is just by economics of college sports right now.
You know, I try not to look at it as in that light. I try to, okay, you know, make the best of the opportunity of what I have. And I'm a firm believer there's more good players than there are universities. But it's all about finding them good players and what for you and what do you, you know, how would they fit your system to be successful in the SWAC. And I think I got a good idea of the type of players that I want to recruit and the type of players that I believe that will help put Alcorn back on top of the SWAC. So I try not to look at it to a sense to where as though, you know, you have limited resources. I just look at it to where as though, you know, what's provided, you know, as far as the resources, you know, that's great. And everything else, I just got to do a good job of working hard and, you know, finding good, talented players that I believe that will fit my system and the philosophy and that will help this program moving forward.
Now, Coach, you feel this way. That's how I kind of feel this way about this, is that with this COVID-19 pandemic and guys have been on their own, you can see really got who guys are who are really players, because they have to work out on their own. They might not have a goal or a hoop in their area, but they can do some running and working out and staying in shape. You can kind of see really guys who love the game, who really bleed basketball, who really about the life of being a baller. So do you feel this kind of pandemic is kind of showing you coaches who are guys are for real about the game, who just want a scholarship and just want to kind of do it just for fun?
I think that, you know, every you know, player has, you know, their different situations. Some of them is like, you know, following the rule of social distancing, and some of them is, you know, out running 3-4 miles and, you know, doing what they're supposed to do. But, you know, I really try not to base it off of that, just based off of everybody's situation is different. Some people might have different resources than others. And, you know, some people, you know, situation is just different altogether. So what I try to do during this time is, you know, make a lot of phone calls and, you know, call the former coach, as, you know, the AAU coach, call the former high school coach, former college coach, call the coaches that they played against to really get a good understanding about the young man, and, you know, call the parents to really get a good understanding about the young man on the court, off the court. I want to see, you know, the coaches that he played against, what did they think about him? Did they think it was tough to prepare for him? Or did they think that, you know, he was just an okay player? So I try not to analyze it to where as though, you know, some kids might be able to work out, some kids not. Some kids are dedicated. I think that's kind of hard to analyze because everybody's situation is different. And, you know, some kids have, you know, different resources than others.
How is it big getting kind of – know your team via Zoom and FaceTime? That was not the most ideal way to get to know a new team, new situation. But how's it been going meeting with players via the Zoom and FaceTime here the past few weeks?
I think it's been going well. You know, it's kind of different and unique, but we're going to make the best out of it. It's been going well. FaceTime and Zoom and talking on the phone and talking to different parents and things like that from the first weeks. This has been going on a week. Everything has been going well as far as that aspect.
And you guys are trying to recruit young men to your program, what would be the ideal Alcorn State Brave in your mind, coaches you want to have in your program as you set your culture here 2020 going forward?
The most important thing you want to do first is you want to check that character. You know, that's definitely a checkbox. You want to, you know, identify, you know, type of kid that he is, that character. You do research by talking to the parent, talking to former coach. And the next thing you would want to do is, you know, check their work ethic and their toughness. You know, as far as, you know, the work ethic in the classroom and the work ethic on the court. And the toughness to see, you know, if they're able to obtain, you know, what that's going to be faced in front of them. And the next thing you want to focus on is their talent. You know, how talented is the young man? Can he fit your system? Does he have good enough talent to, you know, be successful at your level? And then after that, you know, you pretty much make a decision off of the information you have received.
And coach, also good for you, I feel like you was in the SWAC conference already, so you kind of know all the coaches in the conference. Would it be Coach Howard at Alabama State, Sean Woods down there at Southern, Coach Smith where you came from, Coach Jones at Southern there, so you know you got some great coaches in your league there that you already know. So you feel like they'll help you out as you give a conference play because you already know these guys. You've coached against these guys already. You know what schemes they run. You know their players. So I think that's gonna really help you out a lot come SWAC conference time play next year.
Oh, most definitely, it's going to help me out a lot just by, you know, being in the conference. You definitely know some of the coaches' strengths. And what to prepare for and what to look for. So that's definitely going to help when you're going up against Sean Woods, you know, down the side, who, you know, really tough. So you're going to prepare your team to, you know, just be as tough, if not tougher. And, you know, other teams that in the SWAC, that's going to be tough as well. And, you know, different philosophies. Some teams play 2-3. Some teams like to slow it down. Some teams like to get out and transition to run. So you definitely have an idea of the coaching style and the philosophy that you're going to be looking forward to and to prepare for.
And non-conference scheduling-wise, you know, listeners have no notice about it. On the show, we're talking about one time on the show, coaches, you got to play bye games. You got to play the guarantee games, raise money for the university. So I saw those bye games you have to play. How do you see yourself going about scheduling for your team going forward? Are you going to be a hard schedule? Are you going to challenge your guys non-conference? Or you want to give them some wins before you jump in that SWAC conference play there in January?
You know, I think that right now, I mean, you definitely want to have some teams that's going to challenge you. And so you can test to see where you are. So
have a tough.
Some tougher teams to wear, though. And we're going to go in there and try to fight and give it everything we got. And those games will, you know, be able to test the student athletes to see, you know, where they are. And then we'll have a mixture of other schools that we're going to play and things like that. But I think it's going to be a mixture of both.
And last one I got for you, coaches, is who have been some coaches in your career who's really helped mold you as a coach and helped you in your career path, lead you to the point now where you're the All-Corn State Braves head coach now?
The most important thing, I think Coach Byron Smith has helped me a lot at Prairie View. I think that, you know, like I said, he helped me prepare me for the situation. And, you know, like I said, he gave me a lot of leeway to make decisions and recruit and, you know, make game management decisions, things like that. And so he helped me along the way. And also Danton Jackson, this past year he was at UAB. He was my head coach when I was at Xavier University of Louisiana. College my coach as well before I transferred to Xavier University. So, you know, those three guys right there, probably, you know, three guys I could think about off the top of my head will help me as far as getting to this level.
Of course, Bussy, I'm definitely happy for you getting this job, man. Hope to talk to you more down the road, man, as you build your program, man. Hope to see you in Birmingham at the tournament, man. I like coming to y'all tournament in Birmingham. It's real nice. So I like to hope to see you guys win a title here real soon, man.
I appreciate that, and we plan on being in Birmingham, so look forward to seeing you out there.
All right, Coach, have a good one now.
All right, sounds good. Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Same here. Look forward to it. Seeing you down the road, buddy.
All right, sounds good.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
All right, for Battle of Boss Man Show, time for my man in Memphis, J.C. Smith, part of New Essential SF podcast. You know, here I want to keep it cleanly for the listeners out here who have baby ears. So Essential AF, insert the words, as you know they are, podcasts out there. My man, J.C. Smith, bro, what is good, man?
Boss, what's happening with you, man? You staying safe down there?
Brother, I have a new set of gloves, safety goggles, some safety shades, and some surgical masks. I'm good right now, brother.
Oh, really?
I'm ready to go out into this corona world right now.
There it is, man. What's going on with it?
Man, not much, bro. I will tell you, bro. I'm telling you about 2 or 3 weeks, brother. Georgia's going to be messed up because, you know, as our governor opened the state back last Friday, right? And, let's just say some people was at the barbershops and salons this past weekend, brother, and some clubs opened up. And it ain't going to be pretty in about 2 weeks here in Georgia, is all I got to say.
Yeah, man, I saw the footage, everybody getting back out into the world, man. Like I said, you know, you hope for the best, but studies have shown, the data has shown, it may not be pretty in a couple of weeks, man.
Yeah, not down here in Georgia for sure, brother. Well, bro, man, let's hit it, though. The NFL draft, man. Man, what were your thoughts on the draft, man, overall, man, and some picks that was taken, some teams? Who reached out to you making some key moves? Who some picks you looking forward to kind of keeping your eye on as the season progresses, if we have a season this year?
Right. Like I said, all contingent on if we even have a season, man, but – you know, some of the moves, some of the picks I liked, man. Of course, Burrow was going to go number one overall to Cincinnati. I really like what Miami did, you know, signing Tua. I think Tua, you know, is going to be a star when it's all said and done, man. Like I said, pretty much the draft went in order. And then, you know, when it comes to – are you still – oh, so, boss, before I go any further, are you claiming the Cowboys this year? Are you still – you're still not rocking with them?
I claim nobody, brother. I'm indifferent this year. Still.
You're indifferent. Okay. All right. Still indifferent. Okay. All right. But, okay. Then, you know, CeeDee Lamb, you know, the star receiver from Oklahoma, man, he was able to fall to the Cowboys at 17 when a lot of people thought he'd be off the board. By then, he ended up being the third receiver taken in the draft, man, and, you know, it's a surprise that fails the Cowboys there, a present. You know, Jerry Jones is all giddy you know, on the telecast there of the draft, man, when they were about to announce they were about to get CeeDee Lamb. And then an interesting side note happened while CeeDee Lamb was on the phone with the Cowboys. He had the Cowboy phone in one hand, and he had his other phone, hint, hint, in the other hand, right? So,
yes.
In my mind, the way it went off, he was probably getting texts, you know, left and right on the other phone, and it was going off, and his girl, who, by the way, has been rumored to have been dating Trae Young in the past.
That's correct. And we all knew that. We hit him hard for it in the Atlanta media.
Yeah. Is that her real name? Is her real name Crimson?
Yes.
Or is that just an Instagram name?
That's what the name I've always known her as when she
was
around
here. Crimson Rose.
Originally, yes.
Yeah, because I was thinking maybe it had a tie-in with Oklahoma because Oklahoma's team colors, you know, the colors are crimson. Not that maybe it's a tie-in with that. But Crimson Rose, man, who will now forever be notoriously known across social media as being the girl that CeeDee Lamb snatched his phone away from. And boss, I know CeeDee Lamb is going to be a Hall of Famer. You want to know why? The awareness that he had when he saw old girl snatch that phone, the awareness and the grip that he had on that phone, you could tell it was some other stuff going on that phone, man. The way he gripped it, snatched it back, and then the side-eye look that he gave to her.
Yes!
Hey, boo, hey, you have to be replaced. You know, I'm a first-round draft pick, multi-millionaire in a few months. You about to be replaced if you keep acting up. That was the look that he gave her, man. So that was classic.
Correct.
And then my man for the Titans, who they just drafted, the big offensive lineman, is Isaiah Wilson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. You know, and him and his girl, you know. And you know, I'm not going to say the girl was trying to steal any shine or anything like that. I think she was just honestly happy for her guy, happy for her dude. They were embracing. It was a moment. However, mama said, get up. Mama said, get your butt up. And then I was tripping. Old girl acting like she didn't want to move at first. Mama, hey, the Titans offered the mama a contract the way she tackled old girl off her son.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And, you know, like, you know, a lot of parents and families out of line at the draft. Like, it was crazy, bro. The girlfriends were tripping. The families were tripping. And what happened to the 10 or less? You know, I saw more than 10 people at certain gatherings.
Right.
I saw that, bro. Right. I thought we had this thing going on, but obviously 10 or more. But I think we had that went straight to hell, too.
No doubt. No doubt, man. Like you said, you know, but overall, I enjoyed the draft, the virtual draft setup. It was different, you know. Everything went kind of, you know, as expected. There was no, you know, no issues, technical issues or anything like that. It was a pretty cool deal, man. A lot of millions of people tuned in to over the 3 days of the draft, man. So I think overall, it was a good look, man. Like I said, you know, a lot of teams helped themselves, you know, through the draft. The Packers, now, I don't know what's going on with the Packers right
Aaron
now.
Aaron Rodgers is
going
to be salty. He don't want to trade.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that, man. You talk about a team that made it all the way to the NFC Championship game last year, you know, with the roster they had. So you would think that they have a window where they can try to compete for, you know, a ring, you know, the next year or two, another ring to add to Aaron Rodgers' collection there because he only has one ring. So you would think they would give him some help, you know, a couple of receivers. This draft was deep with receivers, as we all know. But their first pick looks like they're looking to the future, man. They're going to put Aaron Rodgers in their rear view in the next couple of years, and they're going to move on with Utah State's Jordan Love. You know, if he can progress and get better, you know, he's going to definitely sit out for the next year or two, man. But the Packers have their eye on the future, man. So, you know – you know, it definitely looks like spills the end for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
No doubt. And also, CC Lamb means, and Jerry Jones wanting him to wear 88 means that Dez Bryant, stop posting videos with Dak Prescott. You're not getting a job with the Cowboys, dude. It's over.
Yeah. You know what I would hope for Dez, and like I said, you know, Jerry's fond of him. and everything. Give him the job, man. You know, I don't know if Darius would be open to it. His playing days are over with now, but I don't know if he'd be open to it, man. You know, assistant receiver coach. You know, because I think he has a lot of wisdom and a lot of passion that he can pass down to the young guys, man. And, you know, that's my hope for Darius, man. You know, get a job in the organization, you know. Just get back, you know, to being able to have fun, man, and share, you know, his knowledge with the rest of the young guys on the team, man. Because his dream of getting back with the Cowboys, that's a wrap, man. I never saw that happening from the get go, anyway, man.
But he's desperate.
Yeah, desperate. He's looking real thirsty out there, man.
Yeah, like I hope that kind of was like, yo, Dez, we're done, right. Dez, we're done.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now. We watched The Last Dance, so we episode 3 and 4 came out this past weekend, watched 1 and 2. Kind of hearing about how the 98 Bulls kind of tore down prematurely, and we know how the Bulls rebuild has went since 1998 and 99 season, nowhere fast. You know, so let's right. just say that Jerry Krause erred in judgment. But just before you kind of talk about this, bro, would you have tried to run it back as long as you could have, or did what Krause and Rounds would have tried to do, which is, hey, get out before it gets too late, before it really gets bad, you know? Because you know, some teams where they stick together too long and it just looks bad when it's last legs, and they didn't want that to happen to them. So what are your thoughts on just the whole setup of The Last Dance, what we've seen episodes 1 through 4 so far?
You know what? I love it, man. You know, me growing up, I was the biggest Bulls fan, the biggest Jordan fan, biggest Pippen fan. You know what I'm saying? You know, I would cry. You hear me? Like, the Bulls lost back in the day when I was a kid. I would cry if they lost the playoffs, man. Like, I was rolling tough, man, with the Bulls. So, you know, I'm loving this documentary, man. You know, it's been 22 years in the making. So I'm glad that they decided to go ahead and release it now. But in regards to your question about, you know, Jerry Krause and did you break it up, they break it up too soon. I believe this. The Bulls, you know, during, like I said, six titles in 8 years. All those games, man, they play, all those playoff games. Those guys are getting up in age. And, you know, the tread on those tires are kind of, you know, looking a little thin after a certain point. So I understand the sentiment of Jerry Krause and Jerry Reinsdorf of going ahead and dismantling the team. But I also understand where Mike and them are coming from. Like, hey, you know, we're the champs until somebody, you know, knocks us off the hill. So why not give us the opportunity to do that? I agree. I believe they should have probably gotten maybe one more year. But I'm going to tell you this, boss. After that 98 season, all right, you had to strike shortened season. So you only had 50 games, you know, a quick regular season, and, you know, a matchup against the Spurs in the finals. Tim Duncan and David Robinson would have been tough, man, because the Bulls, their Achilles heel was always dealing with big men that had game, man. Like, they had no answer for that. So, you know, it was always, you know, believed that if the Bulls would face the Rockets, you know, in that 93-94 season or 94-95 season when Mike was, you know, on his baseball hiatus, a lot of people believe that the Rockets could have beaten the Bulls, you know, because the Lodge one was just, you know, a nightmare. Like, who was going to handle him? So you talk about who's going to handle those bigs for the Spurs. You know, you got Twin Towers, Robinson, and Duncan was, you know, killing folks, you know what I'm saying, only his second year in the league at that point. So it would have been tough, you know, maybe a 6-7-game series. And then the following year, you got Kobe and Shaq you're dealing with, man. So I believe that, you know, they probably should have got maybe another year or so to try. But at the same time, I would never want to see Michael lose a final. I would never want to see Jordan lose a final. I never want to see the Bulls lose a final, man. It was something about being perfect that just stands the test of time. And that's what makes him the GOAT, man. You're talking 6-for-6. Like, okay, LeBron may be a better all-around player, but you talk about LeBron having a 3-6 record in the final, man. And in the finals, that means something. When it's all said and done, man, I think that's why Jordan will always have that stature over everybody else, man, because he was perfect in the finals, man. Kobe lost twice in the finals. You know what I'm saying? Like, it means something to get to the, you know, get to the championship championship series, man, the finals, and you perfect 6-for-6, man. That's why he's the GOAT.
No doubt. And I would say with the lockout that year, it probably ended naturally where it should have been. Because, like you said, the shortened 99 season with the lockout, it would have been ugly, probably.
Yeah.
And guys on one-year deals, how do you convince Pippen to come back after he feels. So I think, you know, as we would say, we'll have one more shot at it, but it kind of ended where it needed to end it, kind of with how the lockout went, you know. So
You know, the lockout pretty much sealed their fate. And then also, like what you watch now, you know, in all the episodes so far, the fact that Krause already said that, hey, Phil Jackson's not coming back. He was trying to get rid of Phil after the 72-10 season. That's crazy when you think about it, man. But and also, they were not going to give Pippen a big deal. You know, Pippen had to go elsewhere to get his money after that last championship. So, like I said, it ended at the right time, the way it was supposed to. But it's just a shame that, you know, because you would never see that happening today. If a team has won 6 titles in 8 years and they're talking about breaking it up, that never would happen.
Unless you're Kevin Durant, stupid.
Just give it time, yeah.
Unless you're Kevin Durant, stupid.
Right.
You know?
Exactly, pretty much.
So, yeah, and last topic, bro, like, you know, it's kind of sad what's going on with COVID-19, but a report came out of how funeral homes are dominating radio advertising now. That's messed up. We know what's going on with the pandemic around us and people are dropping like flies, but for real, you have to advertise your services now on the radio now and taking over where ad dollars are going out. You pushing into them. Bro, it just seems so sick and twisted to me, brother.
Hey, man, we're living in some crazy times. Like you said, you know, funeral businesses, hey, they see an opportunity, you know, and they know what's going on out here, man. People are dying, you know, by the hundreds, by the thousands. So, you know, they see an opportunity to cash in, you know, as far as the advertising and you know, and the way that thing goes, man. But, you know, like I said, just overall, man, like, it's just a shame that, you know, we're not taking care of each other as people. You know, at the end of the day, it's all about money, you know, dollar bill. And that's all well and good, but at a certain point, it's about looking out for your fellow man. And it's a situation where, you know, you may not have any symptoms or anything, man, but you can pass it on to somebody, and that person passing on to, and so on, to the point, you know, where we're right back in the same boat again. So, you know, I just wish people would just take heed and just, you know, chill, man. Outside is going to be there. It ain't going nowhere. It's going to be there. You know, just take your time, man. I know everybody wants to get back out and, you know, enjoy these nice spring days before it gets, you know, super high out here. But, like, it's going to be there for you, man. But it's all about taking care of the brother, man, taking care of the other man. And everybody just kind of look out for everybody. And we're going to be all right.
Yes, indeed. No doubt. Bro, thank you for your time as all this week, brother. We'll talk to you next week. And we'll recap some more Ladder Dance episodes and see what else happens in the world of sports between now and this week, my good brother.
How do you feel about your office? Is it just a space for your company? Or is it a space to help you grow your company? From new HQs to satellite offices, with WeWork, you can find a space that works for you. Visit we.co/spacematters to learn more.
Folks, back on the Boss Report, Boss and Bone, breaking down all the craziness in Florida, from Florida men and Florida women, Florida children. Bone, what's up with you guys up there in Jersey? How's the corona life treating you? How's the quarantine life treating you right now, my man?
For me, man, the quarantine life is my life, man, because I'm already a homebody. I'm already enjoying libations in my basement, so I'm good, man. And we're taking stand up here in Jersey because we have common sense, man. We are not open for business just yet.
Unlike, say, of Georgia and Florida, who are now open for business, you have barbershops open, they're going to die. Salons, they're going to die. Estheticians, they're going to die. You know, the nail shops, they gonna die. Or the tattoo parlors, they gonna die. The bowling alley, movie theaters, now restaurants, and malls are coming this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
And
malls.
And Bone, let me ask you just a sensible question. I know this is a Florida Boss Report, but this is Georgia. How can you socially distance at a barbershop, a salon, nail shop, tattoo parlor, a gym? How's that possible?
It is not. So that means all funeral parlors, their advertising commercials, they're open for business tenfold.
Correct. And I don't know how do you stay safe that breathing in your face if you're a barber or stylist, and, you know, I just don't know. Well, I'll just go to a movie theater or a bowling alley or a gym right now. And I'm going to put this out there. This is a trap for black people because we own these type of businesses. This is a trap for us. When the country clubs start opening up, when the croquet clubs are opening up, tennis courts open up, then you go outside because it must be safe. Boom. It's a backdoor setup. I'm telling you, they don't see it. I see the play.
Yeah, because our people, we love getting our hair done, our nails done, man. We love just going to the barber shop and just chopping it up with our people, man. Look, I'm thankful that Jersey has common sense. I'm also thankful that I shave my own hair weekly anyway. I don't need that noise. But people down in Georgia and Florida, man, y'all got to come up together and rock together and be smart.
Overcome our dumb governors. I mean, they say about the South Bone, how dumb the governors are. Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, Florida. Some of the Arkansas, too. Some of the dumbest governors in the Union are down here.
Yeah, and I think the problem is y'all are just giving us more ammo. Us folks up north, y'all just giving us more ammo for jokes, man. So just come to common sense, man.
And you know what their biggest problem is, these stooges? They're stooges for Lysol Man, Disinfectant Man, Sunlight Man, who actually suggested on live TV that we could inject Lysol or Clorox disinfectant into your body to fight the virus, get out of your lungs, and mint it.
Yeah, and they're fools. They're probably trying it too. The same fools that ate Tide Pods. These fools, it's like a natural selection. So if y'all fools want to keep doing those things, by all means, man.
Yes, bro. You don't follow a fool, be a fool. You can die like a fool. You know what I'm saying? So, folks, you've been waiting on it. It's time for it. It's here. It's the Boss Report. My first straight bone is this. Florida man arrested for throwing bowling ball through neighbor's window after he caught the neighbor tapping his wife the night before.
So he threw the bowling ball through the window? Did it hit anyone?
Yes, the neighbor gave him a concussion.
Ooh. I mean, what, he threw it like with two hands or one hand? I got to know this because I want to know how grown man strength he has.
One hand, 15-pound ball.
You know what? 15-pound ball, if you're throwing it, that is some pretty impressive grown man strength. So if you add that plus the rage he probably had in his body, man, I don't blame him, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the Rona would make you not want to cheat because you don't know if the other person got it or not. So I know side pieces have been hurting right now because of the Rona. But this man went and got him something from the neighbor, though, right next door, I guess. He's an albatross, right? He's gone, I guess.
Yeah, it was like almost like a free delivery kind of thing. I mean, he probably knows that they're safe. They probably thought, you know, I'll be at home. Wife's probably alone and lonely, you know. But he didn't count for that grown man strength, though. He's throwing a bowling ball through a window like that.
Exactly. Get this. Same kind of situation. Florida man uses a brick paver to break into the convenience store to get some Swisher Sweets.
Sweets?
Yeah.
You know what? On this quarantine life where all the prices are jacked up a little bit and everyone's getting gouged, price gouging, you know what? Times are hard and get that free tooth, man.
I hear that. You know, that's crazy. And this is kind of crazy, too. Florida man's welcome mat said, come back with a warrant. And that's what the deputies did after finding he was running a child porn ring secretly on his computer.
Oh, see, I was gonna laugh and say, you know, that's a pretty dope welcome mat. Come back with a warrant. But now I see why he did that. And now that's just an ugh thing. And you know what? Quarantine or not, you know, corona or not, when that dude gets locked up and thrown a gem pop, he will not be treated kindly.
Got that right. Florida pastor and ICU have sent letters to patrons for tithes and offerings and one pastor came to church during the middle of the live service and beat him down with a metal bat, an Easton.
He's asking for tithing offerings?
Yes, and he says to send a letter to the patrons. So, but the man was so angry, that don't know how you're doing church online, some people are. He came to the church house on Sunday with a bat and not to pass out in the middle of the live service for sending money, asking for money during the pandemic. He ain't got no job.
Mm. You know what? I mean, I'm not going to say he done that, but I understand. You know, times are tight right now, man. What's a man doing, you know? But the bat, ooh, how much damage was the bat done to him?
I mean, he's in ICU right now with multiple injuries, internal and external injuries, the master. And the Patriots on the loose still. They can't
find him.
On the
loose? Wow. Boy, yeah. did he beat him down on a live broadcast?
Yes, he did.
And they can't find him still?
They cannot find him still.
He got G's on his side.
Yeah. Oh, this is so Florida. Florida man arrested for shooting bullets at tractor trailers as they passed by his house on the highway.
Man, I know times are now tight and we're all going a little stir crazy. And I know he must be bored as hell at home, but what? Why? How are you that bored? How are you that bored not thinking through? What happens if that tanker explodes? What happens if you were having if a straight bullet? Like, how?
A ricochet or something like.
A ricochet? How bored are you?
Yeah. Exactly. Get this. Florida man facing 12 charges after putting Walmart customers in the ankle lock. One time, a rock bottom a second time, and hit him with the Rakishi the third time.
Oh, see, he must be a fan of the show or listen to the show. But remember, I think last week I did ask for more variety in the moves.
You did.
I did ask for ankle lock here or there, so he listened to that. So I thank you for listening in your ears. But the Rakishi, that's where I draw the line at, man. I'm not gonna tell on side note. Like, I have friends who wrestled, and so I have friends who were like independent wrestlers, and they joined the federation at the time where Rakishi was at his peak, and they told me that they were summoned to get Rakishi. Now, look, for no amount of money in the world am I taking the Rakishi butt face thing. There's no way. But this dude was doing handing out for free.
Yes, and how do you put an ankle lock in the middle of Walmart, though?
Yeah, the ankle lock is very creative. I thank you for listening, sir, because I did ask for more variety and moves, so the ankle lock is appreciated.
Yeah, also, yeah, my man hitting the pass with that bat, too. He gave a variety as well.
Oh, that is true. That is true. Because I did ask for a variety because it really didn't kind of fail. You know, all we have are steel chairs and stunners, but the ankle lock and the bat and our key are. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, indeed. Here we go. Florida man arrested after stealing some sleeping iguanas and getting scared. They woke up on him in the car and started attacking him. And had a wreck. He was drunk too.
Oh, so he was drunk. So he was probably like, he probably was so drunk. He probably thought they were like ghosts. Because he probably thought that they're rising from the dead or something, man. Because, like, you got to know by now, if you're living in Florida, you got to know. Like, I know not from Jersey that they're not dead, man. They're just like in their hibernation. They're not dead. How come I know this and some people down there don't know?
What it happens is it gets below 45 degrees, they tap out.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I know this, a Yankee myself knows this, how come y'all ain't knowing this, man? Come on.
Exactly. Man, oh man. Florida woman stole Xanax and Percocet from Walgreens she works at in an effort to keep store from getting robbed and to help her man get bigger down there.
Oh my goodness. Like, again, pun intended, times are hard, man. he was just, like, looking for a little something extra, man. You know, times are kind of, you know, down. Everyone's cooped up, you know. And maybe homeboy wasn't performing right. And, like, again, times are hard.
Exactly. the stupid governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, calls Florida, quote, God's waiting room amid the coronavirus outbreak. What a dummy.
Yeah, I've actually heard that before about God's waiting room being in Florida. That is so wrong. And like to say it with your buddies at a bar or at the Pirates at home, but you're the governor, man. What are you thinking?
Hoo-wee, what an idiot. get this. This is so weird and so weird, this story. Florida man having a bad day at work because coworker would not let him rub her pregnant belly or give him a top-off job, causing a bomb threat in retaliation, then cut off his own junk in the office.
There it is. There's the coup de grace. There's always the cutting of your own junk because you don't get top. That kind of defeats the purpose, folks. If you're going to want to use that thing, you know, someday for more toffee, to cut it off because you're not getting toffee is counterproductive. But maybe he must have been really hard up because he might have had a fetish, you know, because I've seen those guys having fetishes. Maybe he had a fetish, but to cut off your own junk because you're not getting any action defeats the purpose, folks.
Exactly. Man, oh man. Get this. Tampa, Florida, man. Spend some investors' money on strippers and cars after the investor put him in charge of the funds.
Oh. So, I want to say vet these people properly, man. Like you can't hand over funds to people and not vet them properly. Because you got to know, my man wanted a bender, huh?
Especially in Florida.
Yeah, you got to vet better than that, man.
Get this. 10-year-old Florida girl put up a sign, help me, get me out of here, sign on window because she was struggling with her homework.
I'm surprised it was a parent doing that because I know homeschooling your kids now, I hope y'all out there really appreciate teachers and educators out there for how much hard work it is to teach your kids for 8 hours a day. Now you have your own kid to teach. I hope y'all are seeing this. But it must be a really miserable time right now for that poor little girl and her parents that she wants to escape.
Correct. Oh, get this. Florida man in ICU after drinking a bottle of rubbing alcohol for COVID-19 after hearing this from the Lysol fool in D.C.
Two words, natural selection. Sir, if you're listening, I thank you for making this world less populated or trying to make the world less populated. Because if you fools out there are going to listen to President Tang, y'all deserve what y'all get because y'all can listen to people who try to inject household products into your system. Please do you, but please stay from us.
Correct. And same story, another story, Bone. Orlando man found dead. Not dead, they said almost dead after being caught drinking colloidal bleach inside of a Winn-Dixie.
There you go. See, you're trying to do us a service by making the world less populated and one less mouth to feed. I mean, if you want to keep listening to that dude, that misinformed dude, keep doing what you're doing, man.
Correct. Florida man fired. Put out his junk during a Zoom work meeting saying, quote, one lady to see what I'm working with.
Ha! Man, you gotta be careful on those Zooms, man. Like, I make sure after I'm doing my Zoom meetings and conference calls and everything, I make sure that I cover up that camera lens real quick, man, because it's just idiocy. But this cat actually did on purpose. He wanted to show what he's working with, man. I mean, at least he wasn't cut off at least this time. So, I mean, I guess that's a good thing that it wasn't cut off on a live stream, but to show what you're working with, man, he wasn't really, really bored or a mess.
Correct. A Florida woman spits chewed food into fruit bins at Walmart. Laughs from question by police saying, quote, I'm trying to get them people sick.
Ew. So he just chewing up food and spit that out again?
Mm-hmm.
Ew. So, I mean, she's not of our ilk, right?
She is.
She is? Oh, wow. Yeah. That's an upset. I would have had long odds on that one. I would have lost that bet. Wow. So, you got me, man. I'd be a loss of words, because I would never think that someone someone of our airport be doing something like that.
Yeah, it was definitely disappointing when I saw our mugshot. Disappointing. Tell you what, Florida man accused of spitting on cop claimed he had coronavirus.
And was he arrested?
He was. And he was not real.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, because my next question was he injured or was he, you know, half murdered or something like that? So then that shows that he was not a viral fan. He's still walking and talking and breathing.
Mm-hmm. He's still with us.
Yeah, still with us.
Get this.
COVID, huh? Jeez.
Get this. Florida man pastor wearing a Giannis Antetokounmpo jersey. Sad choice of jersey. Accused of punching donor 70 through the distribution center who would not join the church.
Wow. He's wearing a Giannis jersey?
Yes, which is a bad choice.
So he must have been a Bucks fan, which means he must be a Bud fan, which means he's probably already drained as it is.
Correct. Yeah, that story. That story doesn't mean I saw wearing a Giannis jersey. For real, I'm already done with you at that point.
Yeah, he's already deranged. Him. He's a Bucks fan and a Bud fan. I mean, he's already a little unstable as it is.
Yeah, they're right. Get this: Florida man arrested shooting at firefighters going out of a burning home across the street from him to save people.
So he's just like duck hunt, just shooting firefighters.
Yes, you're shooting the. Yes.
Ah, he is wild. I mean, that takes it to a whole new level. Like a dude shooting at trucks and tankers on the highway, that's one thing. But shooting at people, like in a duck hunt video game, that is a whole nother level, man.
Get this. Florida man plans to stalk the newly reopened beaches dressed as the Grim Reaper.
I heard about that. That's so. Florida man wore the Reaper, and they call that what?
God's waiting room.
God's waiting room, and he wearing a Reaper outfit, man. That you can't beat that, man. So first of all, isn't it hot down there? That dude sitting in a suit all day on the beach.
Yes. Also, they're putting casks on the beach too, as a reminder.
What?
In Florida.
Oh my God! Yes. Are you serious?
Yes.
So this cat might actually join them. Because of dehydration. Because if you don't
be
in that all day, you're gonna be in that shoe all day and on the beach, a hot beach, man, you're gonna be enjoying them one day.
Oh goodness, says Lord, that was those points. Get this. Moonshine drinking Florida man who threatened to deputy jailed again on DUI charges after getting caught at a stoplight whacking himself off to some Pornhub on his Droid phone.
See, it's that Pornhub, man. That's a trap, y'all. Pornhub is like free now, right? I heard a premium or whatever is free. So that's a trap, y'all. That's how I'm going to get y'all, because y'all going to be bored and lonely, probably drunk and high, and y'all going to be doing the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Oh, good. You might like this. Florida man puts fake COVID-19 warning on door to try to avoid arrest warrant. Deputies still come in there. Choose up the deputies to put the deputy in the walls of Jericho.
He put the deputy in the wall of Jericho?
Yes.
How big is this dude, man?
6'4". He told the other deputy, oh, wow. Shoot him, shoot me. Yeah, shoot him too if you shoot me. I got him in the walls.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's like a big old country dude. And that poor deputy, man. Because the wall of Jericho is a hard move to pull off on a live body. Like a body that's not willing to be put in the wall of Jericho. That's a hard move to pull off. I mean, I put my son in. He's 14. That's not a problem. But to put a grown man in it, man, that's a move that takes a lot of strength. Because the dude is sure unwilling to be put in the wall of Jericho in the first place.
Correct. Yeah, that one threw me off when I read it. But he put him in the walls, and the deputy was tapping.
My goodness.
Only in Florida, right? Last two of the day. Florida man attacks elderly roommate, woke him up for breakfast.
That's it?
Yeah. Arrested for it, yeah.
I'm not a morning man myself, so wake me up, but I love some breakfast, man. So I can't be understanding how you can beat somebody up because they won't wake up for breakfast, man. How angry are you? Are you freaking angry? What's your problem?
Exactly. I don't get that. Then the last story of the day. Florida man seeks to flatten the curve of the COVID-19 by attacking people on the beaches with bats to knock them off and scare them off the beaches.
Damn, so he's just beating people down with bats?
Yes.
Was it actual contact or just swinging?
Actual contact.
Ooh.
Male or female, does not care.
Oh, yeah, he's a little deranged. Like, it's one thing to be a reaper and put out caskets to people. Well, that's one thing. But you're actually promoting violence on people because they're on a beach. Now, those idiots should be in the first place, but to get beaten down with a bat for it, it's a little excessive, no?
Yeah, very obsessive. Very, very obsessive. So, Bone, we're at the end of the report this week. What is your thoughts this week's report, man?
Well, it was fun taking a shot at Bud. That's always fun. I thought it was a good part of the show. But also, thank you to listeners out there who are actually adding more variety to your moves. We had Walls of Jericho and an ankle lock. We had Rikishi with his bark. But thank you, though, for listeners out there, to our suggestions to make things a little more spicier. Because it was getting a little stale all starting at the bottom. To add an ankle lock and a Walls of Jericho is very ingenious. Thank you.
And can't forget, remember, people in Florida, if 45 degrees and below, the iguanas will tap out. They will be back.
Yes, that's right. They are not undead. They're not come back to life. They are already alive, folks. Keep sleeping.
And finally, just because you don't get what you want from a female, do not cut your Johnson off.
Yeah, that's counterproductive, folks. That's,
so, that's our PSA for this week. Be safe, but don't, if you don't get your way, don't cut off your Johnson. And also, why are you chasing a Prego, though? And it worked.
He had a fetish. He had a thing.
Don't understand it. Don't understand it. Well, folks, that's the Boss Report for this week. Boss and Bone, we are out.
And if you don't know,